Welcome to Senior Power of Maine. Hi, I'm your host, David Neely, and as the past publisher of Maine Seniors Magazine, I know that senior power is Maine's greatest natural resource. Yes, I said senior power. Maine senior citizens are the reason Maine has the highest volunteer rate in the nation. In fact, the involvement of our seniors in community and civic organizations provide the very fabric of our cities and towns, making them great places to live. And Maine is also considered a generous state, despite our low income, with most of our philanthropy coming from, you guessed it, Maine's seniors. This radio program, Senior Power of Maine, will be filled with a combination of entertainment and information for mature audiences only. So if you are a senior partner or work with those who are, you'll want to grab a cup of coffee and enjoy our Senior Power Half Hour.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Our next guest is going to be what I call the quintessential American story. His name is Donato Tramuto, and he's an American healthcare executive who I think now may be retired, but that had basically got into healthcare for the right purpose, a great sense of purpose he had to helping people. And he has done so through a company that he was CEO of, Tivity Health. So having said that, we now welcome to Senior Power Radio, Donato Tramuto. Welcome to the show, Donato.
David, thank you very much. Very, very kind words. And I think I should probably just replace retirement with pre-tirement. I'm still as active and busy as I have ever been. But it's great to be here today. Thank you so much.
Well, Donato, first I want to talk about a little full circle thing that you made me think of. First of all, it was, I believe, under JFK's administration that we instituted the physical fitness in public school systems. And then many years later, of course, you introduced physical fitness for the point of socialization as much as anything, but for the seniors. And given the fact that you have been tight with the Kennedys, in fact, received the I believe it was Robert Kennedy Award. That all makes some sense. But you in Maine had made some gift, and I don't even know, we don't need to talk about the number, but it was a real big one, to St. Joseph's College for the same purpose, for people at St. Joseph's College that were to reach out to seniors in isolation for really what is the ultimate thing that in regard to being somewhat therapeutic, because one of the biggest issues with seniors, and particularly those with isolation, is depression. And I think loneliness and isolation can easily lead to depression, and then all other disease and physical ailments seem to then manifest themselves.
Well, and actually I'm, you know, pleased that you called, you know, St. Joseph's out. But I also like to add to that, there's actually two programs right now in Maine that the Tramuto Foundation has supported. One is St. Joseph's College for Integrative Aging. We believe very strongly that the ability to connect young and older adults, and by the way, we no longer use seniors now. It's the better term is older adults and younger adults. I guess maybe because I'm 65, you know, I'm pushing for that that new definition. But the ability to bring young and older adults together, think of it. When somebody goes off to college, they miss their grandparents. When grandparents see their grandkids go off to college, they miss their grandchildren. And so to support the St. Joseph's College for Integrative Aging, where I'm honored to be the first honorary scholar in residence, has been a really very, very satisfying endeavor. However, we also have a, you know, grant that we funded last year at the Algonquin Playhouse, where each year the endowed grant that we have now established, the Playhouse is to provide, if you will, the opportunity to bring seniors using, if you will, the funds from the endowment to bring seniors to the Playhouse, because we know that the arts can be a remarkable vehicle to help seniors get connected and to help them relive memories through the arts and through the, you know, storytelling of plays. And so those two programs in the state of Maine is indeed a commitment. Even though I'm no longer a resident in the state, I reside now in Tennessee, I've been very, very committed to ensure that we continue the opportunity to help Maine that has, if you will, the oldest population in the nation. So it's really an honor to be supporting those two programs.
Yes, and they are incredibly important. You mentioned arts and music together certainly lift the spirits of all, but I can see where with seniors in particular, that what you've done there at the Algonquin Playhouse is definitely an asset for seniors in that region. So you used to be somewhere in the Acton area in Maine. Do you still come to Maine often, Donato? Yeah.
Well, I do spend my my July and August months here. In fact, I'm here right now. And as you know, the Tremuto Foundation was launched in Maine as a result of my friends having spent their last moments here in Maine. And so while, you know, I certainly could move the foundation, you know, to Tennessee, I've kept it here because it's a great memory and tribute to my friends who spent their last moments in this wonderful, wonderful state.
Yes, and you have, through your connections with Healthy Villages and the partnership you had with the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights group, you were able to provide mobile health technology all over the world. Am I right? I mean, is that some of that still going on?
Yeah.
I mean, including Africa, Haiti, I mean, all over.
No, it's a very, very wonderful call out. We launched Healthy Villages in 2011. This will be the 10th anniversary for Healthy Villages, the 20th year for Tremuto Foundation. And what we did with Healthy Villages was to simply take the technology that I had developed in one of my previous companies and transferred it over to Healthy Villages, believing that Article 25 of the Human Rights Declaration indicates that healthcare is a basic right for every single person. And what Healthy Villages has done is we've gone into, not only in emerging countries, also here in the United States, we've gone into communities and to emerging countries. And by bringing technology, look, in, you know, many countries, they don't have enough healthcare workers. And our technology can train a local villager how to make a diagnosis of a neighbor or somebody in the community that might be ill. And so I am very proud to share with you that we have been able to reduce infant mortality. In East Africa, for example, there were 100 babies per 1,000 live births that were dying. We were able to reduce that down to 15 per 1,000. Now, I wish it could be zero,
wow.
But 85 more babies per 1,000 live births are now alive because of Healthy Villages. And we can go on and on and on with, you know, data and statistics. The reality is that by working together, collaborative IQ, I always say the higher your collaborative IQ, the more you can get done. By working together and using technology, we can save lives and improve a lot of others. And that's what Healthy Villages is doing. We're now in 12 different countries. We're here in the United States. So we just approved a very significant grant for the Maine's Children Grieving Organization, an organization that helps young children process, if you will, the loss of a parent or a friend. And we just approved that grant in May, and we're very, very happy to be working with them. And so Healthy Villages is not only an organization that's outside the United States, it's doing a lot of great work in the United States.
Well, and your foundation has done a lot of great work, and I want to point back to the state of Maine when I refer to a few years back when you were in the Bangor area. You went to the Good Shepherd Food Bank and you made an award to them as well. And that's a thing that sort of, you know, I keep bringing it home, because sometimes we do forget that a lot of very basic challenges, and this gets back to your point about just being kind and trying to understand where other people are at, because a lot of very basic challenges aren't even being met sometimes in our own backyard when it comes to ensuring that people do have food, that they do have social interaction. And I think that's why, you know, we do have some good fortune in having organizations like the Good Shepherd Food Bank, like the Area Agencies on Aging in their Meals on Wheels. It's not just a matter of getting food out to people. It's the social interaction, and it shows that somebody else out there cares about their lives.
Well, food insecurity, as you know, it was highlighted during the pandemic. As we all know, COVID-19 had a disproportionate impact on a population that we all have been fighting for. You know, the social determinants of health, where you live, you know, where you have your home, where your financial, you know, profile might take you. They have a greater determination in your health outcome than your, you know, genetic code. And one of those social determinants of health is food. And, you know, for years I've been fighting that food is medicine, and now we're realizing that food is such an important aspect, not only in terms of providing sustenance, but what you just indicated, the ability to have a dialogue or a conversation or some interaction during the day, it does center and find its way around food. And so we've been very, very pleased to assist the Good Shepherd Food Bank. It's a great organization. 25% of, you know, Mainers on any given day are food insecure, and that's just not the way we should be, you know, viewing, you know, our society. We should not, with the greatest, most wealthiest country and the amount of food that's wasted every day, you know, it just behooves me that we could, you know, actually find a 25% food insecurity in the state of Maine acceptable. It's not.
Well, and a lot of that is with a senior population, and a lot of that is with a senior population that is somewhat trapped in their home, if you will, because they live in rural parts of the state where it's difficult for them.
Exactly.
You know, for basic things, even their transportation, et cetera, it become difficult. I want to speak to the COVID time just for a moment, because I don't know how well you know me, but I'm definitely an extroverted person, and or at least I was. I say BC, and of course I don't mean like the real BC way back, or even BC before cell phone, but I mean BC before COVID. And then I even got to the point where I was a little bit uncomfortable just going out and going to the grocery store. And that's just not who I didn't. I hated that mask thing. I really couldn't even recognize some people. And they, you know, somebody might speak out and say, David. And I'd have to look two or three times, try to figure out who this person was. But I think now that we've got to the other side of that, the lesson learned might be that we spend more time with those people we care about, that we try to be a little bit more socially active, because we know what happens when we're not.
Well, you know, as I shared with you earlier, never in the history of America or the, you know, history of our great world has every single person experienced some challenges as a result of a situation that was in full play. And I think the pandemic is one of those situations, whether it, you know, be here. I just came back from Italy about a month ago. I heard the stories of families there, the sense of loneliness, the sense of disconnection that people felt, the sense of loss. And so, you know, what I worry about, David, is the future consequences around mental health. And we mentioned one aspect of that being loneliness. But I do think that we are going to have to, healthcare leaders, you know, like myself and others who are running companies, I really do think that we have a significant opportunity to get ahead of this now, that there will be decades and decades of, you know, many books being written about what the pandemic might have, you know, been had we done this. But I don't think we can, you know, you know, have eyes in the back of our head. We really need to now convene and organize and address what I think are going to be an enormous tsunami of mental health challenges. And you gave one example of how you felt disconnected. I know that I can talk, you know, about a dozen or two dozens of other stories where people felt severely alone. And as we re-enter into the next, you know, few years and the next decade, I really think there is a quintessential opportunity. And I hate to say this, it all goes back to the social determinants of health. You know, somebody that was living in urban community might have had a better, you know, opportunity in terms of, you know, getting care. Though somebody who was living in rural America, you mentioned, you know, here in Maine, but somebody living in rural America that's about 27 miles from a healthcare facility, you know, they didn't have the same good outcome that somebody else who might have been living, you know, near a medical facility. So we have an opportunity to not look at sick care anymore. We need to start looking at health care. Too many of our dollars have been spent in the sick care bucket. But what I think we need to do now is reverse it and begin to invest dollars in health.
Well, thank you, Donato, very much. Donato Tramudo, making a difference and changing lives for the good. Thank you, sir.
So, David, if I want to listen to last week's episode, where do I go to do that?
All you have to do is go to seniorpower.me. That is seniorpower.me, short for Maine, seniorpower.me, and listen to your favorite episode of Senior Power. Well, Lynn, I'm going to give you a little clue as to who's coming on next. He is funny. He's one of Maine's top humorists, and he has frequented the show before.
Gary Crocker.
That's it. Well, welcome, Gary Crocker, to Senior Power.
Mother and I took a road trip the other day. We jumped in our old Ford, a big old beat-up, rusted-out Ford pickup, but it runs like crazy. And we thought we'd take a road trip and go down all the way down east. We like down east. It's quiet down there. There's a lot going on if you look around, study it a bit. Well, we got on the road, and we got on Route 9. Route 9 used to be a lot of fun. Used to be called the airline because you were airborne half the time on that road. Well, they DOT got in mind that they ought to straighten it out, smooth it out, so they did. That was no fun anymore, but you get there pretty quick. Anyway, we were whistling down there in that old beat-up truck. We come right up on the town. One of the towns at the eastern end of our country is Callis. And, geez, we come right up on that big sign. They've got lots of signage. Big says, "Welcome to Callis." Well, Mother and I were in the truck, and I saw that sign. I said, "Mother, look at that sign. That was, that's got gold lame on it. It says, 'Welcome to Callis.'" She goes, "Don't be such a farmer. It's Calais, you moron." I said, no. It might be Calais on the other side of the pond, but over here, it's Callis, dear. It's how we do it. It's that's how we do it, right? Whether it's, you know, other foreign names, or we have our own way of pronouncing it. Well, we had this big argument all the way into town as we're whistling along. We finally get into downtown Callis. And I pulled the truck off the side of the road. There was a local fellow standing there. I could tell he was local, the way his hands were slid in his pocket. He was leaning against a light pole and kind of grinning. So I waved to him, and he waved back. And I motioned both the truck. He come wandering over. He leaned on the window of my truck. And I said, "Now, listen, my wife and I, just my wife here, we have an argument over how to pronounce where we are right now. Now, you're local." Yeah. "Well, then you could probably help us out. Would you pronounce where we are right now real slow so she'll get it?" "Well, sure. Yeah. Here we go. Brace yourself. Dunkin' Donuts."
Now with the founder of the Senior Planning Center, Anthony Aruda, we're going to hear about why the Senior Planning Center has helped so many Mainers.
To give you an example, it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I had a client come in and said, "Geez, Mr. Aruda, you know, our insurance premium is going up and up," and they were actually on what they call a Medicare supplement that's been around for years. And that's what people had a standard of understanding, a Medicare supplement. And they said, we can't afford this any longer. They were paying in excess of $200 each person. So as we went in, I said, well, yes, there's some programs available now, Medicare Advantage, that you don't have to pay for that premium, but it works from the bottom up, and you would pay copays. So, I mean, he said, yeah, you have additional options. So as we got into it, that was a very plus. But then the woman turned around, and we were saying, I said, by the way, there are assistance programs if you qualify as a senior with low income. And she just immediately commented to me that, oh, by the way, we're on one of those programs. It's called the Quimby program. And I looked at her and I says, well, ma'am, you know, I feel very bad, but I want to tell you something. The program that you are on, that Quimby program, pays all of your medical expenses over and above Medicare anyway. So that program you've been paying each of you at $200 apiece was not necessary. You don't even need that. The woman says, what? Now, the sad part of that is for that woman to have qualified, or that family to qualify, their income was less than $2,000 a month. So for over a year, they had been paying $400 a month out of their income of $2,000 a month for this premium, which they did not need. And she turned around and started crying in front of me. She said, you don't know what you've just done. You saved us. We didn't know what we were going to do. And when I mean, this happened, and this does happen frequently. And I looked at this and I said, oh, my God, how many people are out there that this is applying to because they have no idea what might be available for help for them. And this is not welfare. It's something that they deserve because they were on a low-income basis. So the reward that I personally and our entire company gets out of helping these people is tenfold. It's better than any money that we could personally make. But I'm a firm believer of what goes around comes around, because that individual is probably told 15, 20 other people that how much we were able to help them. So there's always a good story that comes out of this. And so when you ask why we got into doing this, we just found out there are so many other avenues that we can just help people. And by doing it, it just increases our business, and it just is a good thing to do.
And, Tony, you save these folks $4,800 a year. And when people are on fixed income, that is a major, major life-changing event, as you pointed out. But I want to go a little bit further. You had mentioned before that sometimes, particularly in rural Maine, they may not have access to some of this information. Well, indeed, in a world where everything is an 800 number and you have to go online, for seniors in rural Maine, going online and doing their own research, and you know as well as I do, even if they do their own research, this information is not easy to distill, and it almost takes a pro.
Well, a lot of it, too, is we are in rural Maine, and many of the services through the state and everything else are in offices just based on the demographics of wherever the office is. And in relating, many of the seniors are just not capable of just going into these offices at any time for appointments or anything like this. And to be honest with you, we find in many, many cases that the senior doesn't like to think they're going to get a handout from anybody. And I like to try to stress to them, this is something that they require. It's something that they should have. The seniors should have this benefit. They've worked all their lives, and if there's programs out there that can help them, they should take advantage of them. And it's just a good thing to do. We're in a state which is very rural. I know from Stratton, Maine, to Farmington, Maine, where the DHS office is. That's an hour, and many of these people, they're not visiting Farmington. So that's why in our operation, yes, we have offices, but we have agents throughout the entire state that are going to take care of these people no matter where they are.
Thank you so much for joining us today again, Tony Arruda, the founder of the Senior Planning Center. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, David.
Another Down East moment. Two 90-year-old women were out for a walk one day, and Bessie says to Helen, "Did you hear that Lois passed away?" "Why, no, I had not heard." "Well, she did, and her funeral's on Friday. Will you be going?" "No, I won't. If she's not going to go to my funeral, I'm not going to go to hers."
Life is a gift. Make the best of it. It seems just yesterday that I was young, married, and embarking on a new life with my mate. Yet in a way, it seems like eons ago, and I wonder where all the years went. I have glimpses of how it was back then, and of all my hopes and dreams. Here it is, the autumn of my life, and it catches me by surprise. How did I get here so fast? Where did the years go, and where did my youth go? I remember seeing older people through the years and thinking that those older people were years away from me, and that the autumn of my life was so far off that I could not imagine what it would be like. But here it is. My friends are retired and getting gray. They move slower, and I see an older person now. Some are in better shape, and some in worse shape than me, but I see the change. People are different as they get older, not like the way they were when we were young and vibrant. Older age is beginning to show, and we are now those older folks that we used to see and never thought we'd be. And so, now I enter this new season of my life, unprepared for all the aches and pains, the losses of strength, the ability to go and do things that I wished I had done but never did. But at least I know that. Through the autumn of my years have come, I'm not sure how long it will last. I know it's not over. A new adventure will begin. Yes, I have regrets. There are things I wish I hadn't done, things I should have done, but indeed, there are many things I'm happy to have done. It's all in a lifetime. So if you're not in the autumn of your years, let me tell you that it will happen faster than you think. So whatever would you like to accomplish in your life, please do it quickly. Life goes by quickly, so do what you can today. You can never be sure whether you are in the autumn of your life or not. Live for today and say all the things you want to your loved ones to remember and hope that they appreciate and love you for all the things that you have done for them in all the years past. Life is a gift to you. Make the rest of your days the best they can be.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.